One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Deep Dive Live and I am here to tell you that Virgil van Dijk is back. Josh, I planned this show. This is all about Virgil van Dijk. I think I'm going to try and convince you that Virgil van Dijk is back to his best. And I want to show you in the numbers, and we're going to talk formationally why some of those numbers might be slightly different and stuff. But we're going to switch between the board, we're going to switch between the stats, and we are going to focus on Virgil van Dijk. But your overriding feeling on Virgil, 23-24, this iteration, what is it?
I think he looks very good, yeah. I think he was probably our best player against Everton, do you reckon?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. I think he looks assured. It looks kind of like he's benefited from the break over the summer. Obviously, he's wearing the captain's armband now. He's got no Henderson barking down his ear. and he's really far past the injury now. You know, that World Cup season as well, he's gone World Cup in the middle of the campaign, proper pre-season behind him and stuff. So I think so far, yeah, he looks really good. And I think he's had very few kind of moments where you've looked at him and thought, yeah, he's finished. You know, it feels like last season he was maybe a few of them. But so far this season, he looks really clean on that side.
Does he? The one thing I will say before we get into the numbers and stuff is, has he lost half a yard?
Of pace? Possibly. I think, looking at his game, I think he still looks really assured in most departments. He looks just as good as ever in the air, just as strong in terms of shaking opponents off and things like that. I think my only concern with him, small concern in comparison to previous years, is when there's a ball in behind compared to previous years. That is, I think, still a comparison to like Michael Keane or something like that. I think he's fine, but in comparison to the demigod who was playing at centre half for us in the previous couple of seasons, maybe, yeah. Is that what you're thinking as well? Or?
Yeah, I think if you asked him to run 100 metres, he'd hit the same speed.
Yeah,
but I think it takes him a bit longer to hit top speed. I think coming out the blocks where he looks a little bit cumbersome almost. Was it, who's the big lad they brought on? Was it Beto or something they brought on at the weekend? And he runs in behind and he gets there and he gets his body across. I think it was him anyway. But it looks like he's stuck in mud for those first few seconds. And I feel like his top speed's probably still there. But yeah, it would take him longer to get to 20 metres than in previous seasons. But anyway, I'm gonna look now at some of the statistics of Virgil. And for this one, I've used fbref.com. Unbelievable resource for football statistics. The best that's freely available out there right now. I'm looking at Virgil van Dijk and I'm comparing him to himself in every single, the last 5 years previous. So this season with the 5 years previous, at the top you can see here the 23-24 season going all the way back to the 18-19 season. These are toggled onto per 90 stats. I know all the stat heads out there are going to be looking at it going, it's too early, the sample size is too small.
You need to throw out them caveats.
Of course you do.
Always, yeah.
Of course you do. It is too early, but I'm here and I'm making content and I've decided this is what we're doing this week.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what is essentially now close to a quarter of the season is getting to a point where you can look back, even though it is too early. So I'm going to start off, I'm going to look at the progression stats right here in the centre. And I think, first of all, his progressive carries are pretty much the same going season on season. So that's when you take the ball 15 yards further forward, let's say it might be 20 yards on the actual stat, I can't remember.
Yeah.
The progressive passes, how often he's progressing the ball forwards, is actually at its lowest point, as you can see there with my horrendous scribble, than any of the previous years. Now, you know, going up to 7.32, and only on a five-game season, by the way, in the 2021 season. But normally, four and a half, it's down to just over 3.5 at the moment at 3.65. Josh, is there a reason, tactically, why those progressive passes might be lower than in previous seasons?
Possibly. You know, I think we've introduced obviously the new kind of system, which involves Trent suffering inside as an additional midfielder, Van Dijk playing kind of in the middle really of a three, if Robertson sucks inside at times. But I think the progression is usually delivered by the box, but specifically kind of Trent in ahead of Van Dijk now. And you know, we've seen like lots of short 5 yard slow tempo passes in the middle of the park before Trent has then decided to quickly accelerate the game. So I think in this kind of system, there's maybe a bit less of an emphasis on the centre halves to be particularly elaborate on the ball, and you know, it can just be a case of them passing 5 yards to McAllister or to Trent and letting them do that difficult part, if you see what I mean. What about yourself?
I think you're absolutely spot on. I think that's exactly why it is. I think obviously, naturally speaking, Van Dijk is now the deepest of the centre halves as well. So he's actually further away from the players that he's going to be passing to. And I think when we look a little bit later at switches, this might sort of double down on us. But we'll continue to move through some of the stats and stuff. I'm gonna skip straight on to the sort of passing per 90 stats over here at the moment. And I think one of the things that I noticed in here is, first and foremost, total completed passes are much lower, and his attempted passes are much lower than in previous years, which I find really interesting. Now that could be shaped, Josh, by red cards.
By the red cards, maybe, yeah. A little bit less possession in previous years, I think, at the minute, Liverpool, but I'll double check that now.
And I think when you look at, while you're double checking that, his pass completion, though, is as high as it's ever been at Liverpool. It's now 91.5%. It's always been between 89 and 90.5% anyway, but it is slightly higher. His progressive distance, though, how far forward he's progressing the ball, is actually its lowest point from all those six seasons again. At 437 this time around. His short passing, he's completing just about the same as last season, 26.5, the highest was 26.8, higher than all the other years. His medium range passing, much lower than in previous years, 29.5. Now, medium is, short is 0 to 15 yard passes, I think. Medium is 15 to 30 yard passes, I think. And long is 30 yards and above passes, if I remember correctly. And his long passes much lower again than in previous years. Now, if we just look at the percentages, completing a higher percentage, completing a higher percentage, and around the same for the long passes. And again, his progressive passes are the lowest they've been in those 5 years. So more short, more medium range passes, less long passes translate into less switches of play as well down here. So 0.32, 0.98, 0.53, 0.98, 1.03, 0.69, much less switches of play. And again, that's what you're saying. It's Trent Alexander-Arnold doing all that nowadays.
Yeah, and I think if you look, again, tactically, at kind of what we used to do with the system and how we used Van Dijk's distribution from the back, specifically in terms of switches and in terms of long passes, we used those passes over the top in the direction of Mane, making them runs. With Firmino kind of creating space for him. You know, I would go back to the Bayern Munich goal away from home in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. And we also did similar with Salah in terms of, like, when Van Dijk would get on the ball here, Henderson would make a forward run, take a full-back with him, open up space here, and Van Dijk would play the diagonal in the direction of Salah. And that was due to the makeup of the original system. Whereas I think now it's a bit more, it's just a bit more intricate, essentially. It's a bit less one ball over the top and we are in. It's a bit less runs in behind. It still always is because Liverpool, it's Klopp's Liverpool, isn't it? But it's a bit more like let the box establish the dominance and then you accelerate the game when the moment's right. And I think on the back of that, we've seen Virgil showcase less of his, of the quarterback maybe tendencies that we saw him showcase in the first couple of years.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So I think what we've established so far in the stats and what you've backed up, I think, with the formation and the tactics of Liverpool Football Club is that progression-wise, his stats aren't as good. His passes are different to the previous years. But I think if you want to know whether Virgil van Dijk is truly playing at a better level or as good a level as he had in previous years, what I suppose we need to look at his defensive numbers as well.
Yeah.
And we need to tie it, of course, in with the eyeball test, of which I think we've already said in summary at the beginning that we both theorised that he's playing at a good level. Maybe he's not the best Virgil van Dijk, but he's not the worst, which I think, you know, was some of the problems last year. So in terms of his tackles and his defensive actions per 90, 1.27 tackles per game is highest from the 6 years. In the defensive third, much higher, 0.95. Next closest is 0.69. After that, 0.47. His tackling percentage against dribblers is 100%, but that is only one tackle he's made against the dribbler. But he's back to that imperious best from that one dribbler. His blocks per game is more than double. So it's gone up to 2.06. His block shots has gone up nearly three times as much as the next season. His interceptions are close to double previous years in 2.06 per game. Therefore, his tackle and interceptions are up, and his clearances are way higher at 6.51. Next closest is 4.38. What does that tell you? I mean, are we defending more, or is he just...
Yeah, if I'm totally honest, I'd be amazed if they aren't influenced by the fact that we've formed kind of a deep block in, like, what is it, three games now, considering we've had so many red cards. So I think in terms of clearances and blocks, that's as a result of Liverpool kind of forming this compact block and counter-attacking out of that with a one-man disadvantage. But, you know, if you look back, this is why it's so difficult to paint a story in this sense, because Van Dijk was never a particularly...
He's not an active centre-back, was he?
No. In the numbers, and this is like an ongoing thing in the world of like data analysis and stuff like that, it's still really difficult to determine why Van Dijk is so good in the numbers, because numbers are... Public numbers are basically event-based, and event-based means as in like you have to do something to... for it to be counted.
Yeah.
But a lot of what made Van Dijk great was his...
He didn't need to.
He never had to break a sweat. He was always in control and made far fewer tackles than, say, for example, Conor Coady, you know, or someone like that.
I mean, I always think back to Dyche's Burnley, funnily enough. Tarkowski is a great example. He's going to show up in the numbers. He's going to head the ball away more than any other centre half. He's going to clear the ball. He's going to block the ball. He's going to etc. You look, a really simple one for anyone sort of new to the analytics on the defensive side of things would be, look at the goalkeepers. Who makes the best saves? Who makes the most saves? It's the fucking goalkeeper at the bottom of the league, because their side is shit.
Yeah.
And who makes the least but actually is the best goalkeeper? It's Alisson or Ederson, because they make the fewest saves.
Yeah.
But they make important saves when they make them, and because of the way that they play as well.
Yeah.
So it is difficult, but I do think there is an underlying, and it will even out over the course of the season, Josh, that I do think he's maybe more active, and that doesn't necessarily equate to being a better centre-half, of course, but I do think he's changing his game, which is what I'm trying to paint here more than anything.
Yeah, well, you can see, you know, kind of role changes and changes in tactical circumstances in the numbers by them little boosts, them little out of nowhere compared to previous seasons. He's doing a little bit more in this department or that department. But in terms of whether a centre-back is good or bad and whether he's currently great or not, it is difficult to paint that in the numbers simply because, like, you could put Van Dijk, peak Van Dijk, up against, I don't know, give me a centre-back out of the sky.
Guardiola. But that's a bad
one. Well, he's a good player, to be fair, though.
Maguire,
yeah. And if you'd never seen either of them play, you wouldn't be able to really pick out who's the best centre-back in the numbers because it's just defensive numbers depending on who's having to defend more and things like that. So it's one of them, it's still kind of like a scouting area that is still very much, you know, the traditional eye test expert of a scout on the sidelines with a notepad and like a top hat and all this stuff, you know what I mean?
Well, that's right, isn't it? And I think the eyeball test he's definitely passed so far this season.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of some of his other stuff, look, just looking at the possession stats, obviously per 90 again. His carries are, I think, are lower than in previous years. Let's see if I can get this pen back working. 43. His progressive distance is much lower than in previous years again, which we've talked about. His playing time is getting on, you know, back to his absolute best. And then I suppose the other things here are his aerial duels. You know, he's contesting more aerial duels than ever before at 5.08, and his win percentage is higher now. What is interesting and what the numbers do tell you, and it's where I know a lot of people don't put win percentages and pass completion percentages in, but I think across the board when you look at them all and they're all better than they previously were, I think it's fair to say that he's doing well.
Yeah, he's definitely doing well. And I think, if you know, aerial dominance has always been a massive strength of his. That's something that you can use the numbers for to judge, you know, to an extent at least, the level of a centre-back in the air. And Van Dijk's always ranked really, really near the top at the minute. And at the minute, as I said, he's kind of posting higher than he's ever posted before. So that bodes well. He hasn't lost any kind of that ability to leap off the ground or anything like that. And he's finding his teammates with these headers as well, which is always a nice thing. But yeah, I think Carragher wrote a piece recently, actually, just saying, like, if Van Dijk has a good season, Liverpool will have a good season. It's kind of as simple as that, really. And he is that important to us. You know, he's world record player for a reason in terms of transfer fee, but it's good to see him back in form, because he is some player when he's in full flow. He just looks like he's not even trying, doesn't he?
Exactly. And I think the other thing is, and I think this paints him in a really good light as well, is, and it's something that's happened for the last few years, is he's always seemed to have a different centre-half partner every week. Like, yeah. We go through fits and starts, to be fair, of 10 games of Gomez or 19 games of Gomez and 10, 15 of Matip. Now it's Matip and it's Konate. I think he's always adapted well to what's around him in terms of teammates. Much better than some centre-halves I've seen over the years, anyway.
Yeah. Do you think he's got a preference?
Joe Gomez.
Do you?
I think he always liked Joe Gomez alongside him. I just think they get on really well, and you know, that's going back a few years. Don't get me wrong. Maybe now it's not Joe Gomez, but I always felt when we Liverpool at their absolute best, Gomez was his favourite.
Yeah, I must admit, I think Konate is probably the best out of his partners, but I think Konate is also the most inclined to basically leave him and just kind of run off, just as in, like, give me the ball, and he goes and, like, makes a foul where he should have got a second yellow and didn't.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, that sort of thing.
One of the other things that I think we've pulled up earlier on deep dives, and I think this is more eyeball test, but might have an impact on the numbers, Josh, interesting to get your thoughts, is I think he's being more proactive in trying to get the ball back rather than the reactive Virgil who used to stand off and stand off and stand off and stand off and wait.
Yeah,
and that, I think, might be having an impact on the numbers as well.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to see if that's the case. You know, maybe that stems from the fact that there's no Fabinho in the team anymore, and it's McAllister needs a bit of help in that sense. Maybe he's getting a bit inspired by Konate and Konate's ability and his desire to kind of go and get the ball rather than kind of being a bit more of a cover centre half and waiting for the opposition players to make a mistake and then taking the ball off him. But I don't know, it's different. I mean, I think he's still very much like the Virgil that we all know. I just think that the tactical environment around him has changed a little bit in terms of him maybe adjusting his game in that sense. But he's still, I wouldn't say he's as good as ever. I don't know if he's as good as ever, but he looks far closer to his previous level than he did last season. And, you know, that bodes well for us.
Absolutely. So there you go. In summary, I think he's back to his best. Josh thinks he's nearly back to his best. What do you think? Let me know in the comments section. If you've liked the deep dive and you want more deep dive goodness in your life, then we did a deep dive dissection on Dyche's Everton side, and more specifically what Klopp did to actually change the tie. Not talked about the referee. Klopp had a massive impact on that game. That was the show that you planned. It was absolutely superb. Redmenplus.com. You want 2 months for half price as a monthly captain, then use the code DEEP and you will get 2 months at half price. Get over to redmenplus.com, monthly captain. Josh, pleasure as always.
Cheers, mate.
The show that you planned was absolutely superb this week, so I absolutely, definitely, 100% check that one out. Thank you so much for watching. Like the video, please. I know we say this every video, but it really does help. And we'll see you next week. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.